to go on a rant here. What the hell does rant mean?
We made it to episode 37. We're on our way to 100.
Close to finding our voice.
Very close. Yeah. We have a week of nothing again, so hopefully you have a good story. So I see work story, so hopefully something bad happened to you.
It's not a good work story. It's like a two-minute story.
Oh, that's disappointing.
I'm a very disappointing person.
Instantly disappointed. Did you find the ice cream?
Oh, you ready for this? Fucking check the Walmart app. Says they have it in stock. It's on like aisle like H36 in the food section. I drive 25 minutes to Walmart because I live 25 minutes from a Walmart because of traffic. Get there, go to the aisle, empty. They do not have it. I'm like pulling up my phone. So I was like, says you have it in stock.
So I go to the spot for it.
Yeah, there's a spot for it. It's empty. Like they're out of it, which whatever. So, you know, I've gone, you know, 25 minutes out of my way to the bucktooth capital of the world in fucking Walmart. So I go get Gaptooth Willie over here. I'm like, hey, worker, it says that you have this in stock. It's not out here. They're like, you know, plug something into the computer or whatever. They type in like, yeah, we don't have it in stock. Why does your fucking Walmart app say you do? I don't know. It doesn't update. The fuck do you mean it doesn't update?
You fucked me with the popcorn when I tried to get the Cinnamon Toast popcorn. You told me they had it and they didn't.
Like, what the fuck? Why have the app telling you things are in stock or not in stock? And then, like, what's the point?
You're 0 for 2.
What's the point?
That's disappointing. They didn't have it anywhere else around you?
Nope.
Yeah, that shit's going to be gross anyway.
I feel like it's going to not probably be good, but it can't be, like, completely repulsive.
I mean, I don't like mustard, so there's no chance I was going to ever try that.
That's true.
But I can't imagine you created something that just tastes like straight mustard. I found this. Foxen Park? I've never even heard of this. I'm guessing this is orange soda. It's a bunch of glass bottles of soda in Stop and Shop. So I grabbed caffeine-free, natural-flavored orange soda. The twist top. So I'll try that after you let us know whatever the fuck person died last week.
Come on, he had a great
name. This isn't a gimmick. I literally never remember who it is.
He had a great name. Memory. Basil Brown, baby. Basil Brown. Remember there was two Basil Browns.
That I remember now, but I don't remember who this guy was or what happened. Oh,
this was a fucking moron who at the age of 48 in 1974, he was the health food advocate who died from liver damage. When he had
the vitamin A.
So researching this jack fuck. So the coroner's inquest found that the 48-year-old health food enthusiast died from carrot juice addiction.
Wow.
So he was a quote unquote scientist.
Yeah,
Gonna say you probably weren't, buddy. So in addition to the gallon of carrot juice he was drinking a day, he was also taking
a gallon
of carrot juice a day for 10 days, which is how he consumed the 10 gallons of carrot juice. He was also taking tablets of vitamin A. I
think he just shoved carrots up his ass too.
He probably should have. Probably would have been healthier at this point. So because of all the tablets he was taking and the 10 gallons of vitamin A that he drank, he got cirrhosis of the liver. They said it was indistinguishable from having alcohol poisoning.
Who knew?
Of how badly damaged his liver was. But also, he was, he turned orange. Yellow.
I was going to say, I picked the perfect drink.
So it said that he had a vibrant yellow skin with his cirrhosis of the liver.
Oh yeah, you're screwed.
They said it was mustardy complexion. So I wish I had the ice cream. So he had a mustardy complexion because he had a keratinemia, which is a condition that results from the intake of too much beta carotene in one's food.
Do you have any Grey Poupon? I am the Grey Poupon.
So on top of that, I actually looked up the other Basil Brown, the archaeologist.
Yeah, that's the one who shows up right away.
So he died 3 years later, which, by the way, Basil Brown, both of them were from England.
Seems like an English name.
But I'm guessing it probably wasn't pronounced Basil. It's like the dude from...
Basil?
It was probably Basil, the dude from Austin Powers.
I think that's just how he fucking weirdly said that. It's got to be Basil. Because there's an actor, I think he's from Jamaica, called Basil Wallace. He was in one of those fucking Seagal movies. He played Screwface.
So the archaeologist Basil Brown, he was an English archaeologist and an astronomer. He was self-taught. Self-taught for all of this, by the way.
Archaeology and astronomy. Okay.
He dropped out of school at the age of 12.
I should have done that.
Self-taught, but not only that. So he discovered, being self-taught, and excavated a 7th century Anglo-Saxon ship burial at Sutton Hoo in 1939, which has come to be called one of the most important archaeological discoveries of all time. What the fuck? And he was just a quote-unquote amateur archaeologist. Fucking guy self-teaching himself how to do something that I wouldn't even know how to do.
Self-taught. He probably had a huge crush on his teacher.
Oh, definitely. The left hand.
Can you tell me what Kevin Nash's new strain of weed is called? What his product is called? He has a line of weed. Take a guess. I knew what it was instantly. You can get this. If you just think about Kevin Nash, the first thing that probably comes to your mind.
Am I thinking about him being Shredder in Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles? The first thing that comes to your mind, you're an idiot. Because I would hope not. Consider we were wrestling.
I'm going to go with something about the Outsiders.
Ah, no, close. Jackknife.
Oh.
I was reading the article. I was like, if this isn't called Jackknife, he's an idiot. And then I scrolled down. It's like Jackknife something. So he's in the cannabis business. You should try it out.
I kind of appreciate that.
Get some for Alex. He'll fucking test it on whatever the fuck his podcast is called. Joint custody. So do you have any chips to try?
I don't. I have the last flavor of the candy pop.
Yeah, try those. I'm going to pop this over.
It's the M&M minis. I'm guessing these are going to be probably the most basic ones. It's going to be a fucking piece of popcorn with an M&M on it.
Smells like orange soda. I want to go around. How many people do you think these days know who loves orange soda?
Oh, God. Anybody under the age of 30 probably doesn't.
I want to do those TikToks. Just like, what's Jenny's phone number? And even people like, when did you graduate high school? 1984. What's Jenny's number? Who the fuck's Jenny? Fuck out of here. How do you not know?
8675309.
It's like shit like that. Like, how do you not know that?
All right, so I'm already saying this popcorn's not going to be good. There's like a piece of M&M embedded in the popcorn, but it's just like in chocolate.
It can't be any different than like the Snickers one.
It doesn't have the peanut butter. It's chocolate. It's chocolate popcorn. Not bad.
What is so cool about drinking out of a glass bottle? I don't know why, but it's like
it tastes better.
It's just better. It's like drinking water out of a plastic bottle also makes it taste better. I don't know why. But this is like a little less sweet than like all the caffeinated and fucking bullshit stuff. Natural flavor, so it's actually pretty good.
Is it taste more like a sun-kissed?
It's like a lower intensity sun-kissed. Exactly what it is. Not quality. Just like you don't get that like sweet orange flavor. You get it like a hint of it. This was like a dollar or something. So this wasn't that bad.
I used to love orange soda. That was always go-to soda.
So good.
You know what kind of, Kate loves cream soda.
I'm going to go, no. I'll eat a creamsicle here and there, but like I would never choose cream
soda. She loves cream soda and root beer.
No. Nope. No, thank you. Root beer and Dr. Pepper are like, I don't understand why.
Oh, root beer is completely different than Dr. Pepper, though.
But it's two sodas that are popular that I don't understand why.
Dr. Pepper, I think, is nauseating.
Root beer, I can drink. It's not really that enjoyable. Dr. Pepper's fucking gross.
Like if you had to choose, root beer is going to be way down on your list of sodas that you're going to have.
Yeah. 100%.
I don't understand the fascination that people have with Dr. Pepper. Nothing about it tastes good to me.
I don't know how to just even describe it. I haven't had that in years, but like it's just not good.
I would describe it as fucking terrible.
But like what it has like a, doesn't it taste a little bit like, you know, Big Red Gum, like that like cinnamon flavor where it's just like that weird taste? Like isn't Dr. Pepper have like a weird taste to it?
That's the way I would actually describe it.
I just never liked it. It's like of all the gum, why am I choosing cinnamon gum? Like why am I choosing Dr. Pepper for? Makes no sense.
And is Dr. Pepper really a doctor? I don't think so.
Well, it's like Mitch Hedberg has a great bit. I feel like I talked about this on the podcast where he talks about Dr. Scholl, where it's like that dude went to medical school for all those years, and it doesn't take a genius to realize stepping on a cushion makes, you know, your feet feel better. I would have bought that shit from a Mr. Scholl. So, like, yeah, if fucking Mr. Pepper was selling that shit, how did they come up with Dr. Pepper? Just I guess it sounds cooler.
Maybe, but also it says that it says Dr. Pepper has a hint of cherry. No, it tastes like licorice to me.
It's gross. Yeah.
Nobody wants to drink licorice. Nobody wants to eat licorice.
You should do that for next week. Look up the history of Dr. Pepper.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. It was created in the 1880s by pharmacist Charles Alderton in Waco, Texas. It was first served around 1885.
Is it older than Coke?
1885. Jesus
Christ. It seems really, really early.
1885. So when was Coca-Cola invented? 1888.
Wow, it was. Damn. I wish they had Mountain Dew glass bottles at Stop and Shop, because I would drink that.
I don't think I've ever seen a glass bottle of Mountain Dew ever.
I know. I wish I could find one.
Like, you'll see, like, a Pepsi or a Coke, root beer things. I don't think I've ever seen Mountain Dew in a glass bottle.
Like, this is, I've never, since 1922, Foxen Park, literally never heard this. Always in good taste, but it says always in good taste. I guess that's their slogan. Always.
Oh, two words, always.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Faxon Park Beverage Incorporated from East Haven, Connecticut.
You think we would have heard of it then?
No, yeah. It's... Well, I got the banner right for that one, at least.
So do you want to talk about your upsetness about Choco Tacos being discontinued?
I haven't had a Choco Taco in so long, but it's like when you discontinue something from your childhood, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? How is that less popular than a fucking basic-ass Klondike bar?
Yeah, did you see the reason why they discontinued it?
No, I know. I didn't look into it. I'm guessing the sales aren't that high.
Yeah, they said that the reason why, they called it a necessary but unfortunate part of the process.
Just make less of them.
Because over the last 2 years, the unprecedented spike in demand across their portfolio for other products made them decide.
Well, now
you know what other things do they have other than a fucking Klondike bar?
That's true too. Now you know that they're gonna sell a lot now. Maybe this was a marketing stunt, and they're gonna be like, "We're not gonna discontinue it now because I kind of want to go find a Choco Taco right now." I remember, like, did they have those in your school? I'm pretty sure I tried those for the first time at like in middle school.
I don't think I ever had a Choco Taco.
But did they have them? Did they have ice cream for sale? So yeah. I'm pretty sure that's where I tried. That's where I tried Nestle Flips for the first time in sixth grade. And I was like, this is the greatest candy ever.
Did you know that Choco Taco, Taco Bell sold them for a while?
What?
Yeah.
With ground beef in it?
Not with ground beef, but it also says earlier this year for Klondike's 100-year anniversary, Taco Bell partnered with the company to bring, to bring Choco Tacos back to 20 Taco Bell locations for a limited time.
How do you just pick 20? Like, there's got to be thousands of Taco Bells, right? And you just, bring them back.
Yeah, how do you choose?
They fucking throw it at a map.
Also, did you see that the co-founder of Reddit offered to buy the rights to the Choco Taco to keep it from melting away from future generations' childhoods?
Did they say yes?
They haven't responded.
Well, what would be the point of saying, hey, we're not going to make this anymore? I guess if they planned on bringing it back as like a limited release.
Yeah, which, I mean, I guess if you don't want to sell the intellectual property for it or the stuff, you could bring it back in 5 years as a...
Or you could just make a fucking taco and just call it a fucking something else. Like, I'm sure there's not a market where you can't be like, we can't make a chocolate fucking ice cream taco. Just call it something else.
Peanut butter quesadilla.
I mean, fucking give me a peanut butter Choco Taco. We should fucking do one of those things. You know those like rows of food, you have to pick one. It's like from the ice cream truck. Let me see if I can find one.
I know the when I used to, you know, when I was a kid and we'd go to the ice cream truck like after a baseball game, I would always get the WWE ice cream bar.
100%. I wish I could go back and get those again.
Always.
I mean, they were actually really good too. It was just like that. I don't know how to describe it. It was like that.
It was cookie almost like
layer,
a cake, like
cookie, it was like that cake, cookie like... cake layer, which is vanilla ice cream. Super simple, but that combination was just like perfect. Plus, you get to stare at like fucking Texas Tornado or whatever the fuck was on it.
I was a douche. I would always get Hulk Hogan.
All right, here we go. Let me see if I can. Oh, for fuck's sake, why are these images always fucking. Let's try and share this screen. Hopefully, my porn tab doesn't come up.
I hope it does. I just want to see those penises.
Tight Anal Sluts 5, the guy version. Is that. Yeah, which one of these are you picking? If these are your choices, I loved number 6. Just like there's nothing better than an ice cream sandwich with the fucking cookies as the sides.
I'd probably go 5.
There's so many good choices. And then they always had like the Ninja Turtle bar or like some character like that, but I never went for that. Or like the Rocket Pops. It was always something with chocolate or a cookie.
You know, I will say I liked 5. I liked 13 because I like strawberry. Found
a better one. Yeah, I actually Mikey turned me on to those years ago. He loves the strawberry shortcake ones. Shout out to Mikey, who actually seems like he listens to the podcast.
10, very classic.
Yes, of course.
Fuck 7 and 8 though. Really, like it's.
I don't think I've ever seen them. But this doesn't have like the. Where's the one with like the rocket pops and shit? Give me like a real.
I don't think I've ever had a rocket pop.
What are you just not going to change? Oh, that's why. I have the wrong tab. Oops. Fook. I got to change tabs. Go away. Stop sharing the screen. Come on, you fucker. This is called killing time. Here we go.
Loading, loading, loading.
That's the problem. It only opens like on the side. Is it still not loading? Yeah, you can't see that. I'm just at the image fucking page. It doesn't reopen the fucking image when I click like open. Like that's a new complete tab, which is super annoying. I'm not going to fucking pick my tab every single time. Yeah, so that's annoying. But basically, it was like the ice cream bars. I wonder when those got discontinued.
What, the WF ice cream bar?
Yeah. Because they still were selling like the ones from the 90s, like with Hogan and shit on them, like Warrior and Savage on them, like throughout the mid-90s. I wonder when they actually stopped making them, which I'm assuming you're looking up.
100% looking that up.
Fucking goddamn. Well, I tried to get this screen to share, but I wonder if I can do it where it's...
They were discontinued in 2009.
That seems way too recent.
Like, I would have said, like, 1999.
Yeah, I would have thought like early 2000s. That's crazy.
And they came back in 2018.
But they're those little squares. I got those. I think they had Becky Lynch on them, Roman, Cena, and one other person.
Yep.
I forget who the fourth one was.
I have no recollection of Lex Luger being on one of those ice cream bars.
Do they have a list of who was on them?
I'm looking at an old Instagram post from Totally Awesome 80s where it actually shows one with Lex Luger.
They probably did those in like the late 90s where it's like once those guys left, but I guess they still had the property to them. Like WWE ice cream bars. Here we go. Let's see who's on this. Open image in new tab. You fuck. Coco Beware, Animal, Bobby Heenan, Andre, Honky Tonk, Million Dollar Man. It just says Dragon, which is Ricky Steamboat. So this has got to be, this is like WrestleMania 3-ish era. Strike Force, Hillbilly. I love that. It just says Hillbilly. Hulkster, Elizabeth, and Macho Man. I don't know if I ever saw Hulkster. I don't know if I ever saw anyone besides Hogan and Savage. I don't remember
Bobby Andre Heenan the Giant.
One? No, I don't remember. But those fucking, and did you ever get one from anywhere besides an ice cream truck?
Like no, I never saw them anywhere.
I never had one with the fucking box. Like how sick would that be? I don't want to go back in time.
I did just find from February of this year, the legacy of WWE ice cream bars explained.
Yeah, the box would come with like a toy sometimes, like a free toughest opponent collector's card. Bet you those are all over eBay. All right, what's the history of it?
Guess where this hit legacy of WWE ice cream bars explained is from.
Where is it from?
Yep. Which website?
ZackRyder.com.
Close. Just as irrelevant.
Just as irrelevant?
Fuck, really good for lists.
Oh, fucking Sportster?
Sportster.
Of course.
Written by Noah Leatherland.
Ooh, I don't like that name at all.
Let's see. It's a nostalgia for the 80s and 90s has taken a hold of culture as a whole. And for wrestling fans, that's no different. Memories of the 80s and 90s have materialized in recent years in a number of ways, some good and some bad. What started life as a fairly throwaway piece of merchandise has since taken on a life of its own and grown a cult following. No piece of wrestling merchandise has ever quite had a following like WWE's ice cream bars. Let's see. Get to the point. WF ice cream bars first hit concession stands in 1987. Wow.
I think that's when this picture is from, because those are all, that's like Steamboat wasn't there for that much longer.
A partnership with the Gold Bond Ice Cream Company based out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Oh, like Mr. Kennedy.
Mr. Together. From Green Bay. Yep.
Together, the two would produce the first series of WF ice cream bars, which would end up as the most iconic range the deal had ever put out. The premise is fairly simple. A loving helpful of vanilla ice cream sandwiched between a layer of solid chocolate and a cookie. Wait,
it sounded like you said a loving helpful.
It actually, that's what the article says. A loving helpful.
A loving helpful?
Loving helpful.
You sure don't proofread these articles. Heapful?
It's supposed to say heapful, but it actually says helpful.
That's also a really stupid way to say that. A heapful is like, I get an image of just like a fucking scoop in a bowl, not a fucking ice cream bar on a stick.
It literally says
they don't proofread.
A loving helpful. I just took a snap of it to send you to show you that I did not misread that.
Is that like the loving spoonful? Like,
sandwiched between a layer of solid chocolate and a cookie, which had designs of the company's biggest superstars printed on top, all together on a stick.
Oh yeah, I always forget that there's actually a layer of chocolate in there.
Me too.
Because I just tasted the whatever the cookie gram, whatever the fuck that shit is.
I have no recollection of the chocolate.
What did they describe it as?
Loving, helpful of vanilla ice cream sandwiched between a layer of solid chocolate and a cookie.
Cookie, yeah. Whatever that cookie is, it's just like, ugh, it's the best.
The first series included obvious choices like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, and Andre the Giant, but also some more puzzling picks like the tag team Strike Force, Tito Santana, and Rick Martel.
Why is that puzzling? They were super popular.
I loved Strike Force, like watching back the old WWF videos because I was obviously too young. Strike Force was a great tag team.
It's crazy because you know them as like when I started really watching, it was like they were never together. So
it was the model Rick Martel.
You're like, wait, they fucking were tag team partners and he turned heel on him. Interesting.
Each bar would also come packaged with a WWF collectible trading card, sweetening the deal. In 1989, Gold Bond Ice Cream Company was bought by Good Humor, but the partnership continued. Though perhaps not quite as popular as its first few years, moving away from the arena's concession stands to home freezers. Oh.
I don't think I ever even realized you could just buy them. Because I would only always see them at the ice cream truck.
The WWF kept producing ice cream bars throughout the 90s and even into the 2000s. Superstars all the way from Diesel and the 1-2-3 Kid to The Rock and John Cena all found themselves emblazoned on the cookie layer of a famed WWE ice cream bar. The final series of WWE ice cream bars would come out in 2008, featuring superstars like Carlito, Bobby Lashley, and even the man that would help spark its resurgence, CM Punk.
Wait, what? He was on an ice cream bar?
In 2008.
I see a picture of Jericho on one. I never knew that.
Wow.
Yeah, and then crazy. I see the picture of Lex Luger. He got his full name though, and I love how they have to put the little trademark stamp.
That's Hulkster, crazy.
Hillbilly, Dragon, Strike Force, Macho Man.
Why would they call it the Hulkster, not Hulk Hogan?
Maybe they didn't have to put the trademark. I don't know. But the fourth one on the new ones is Macho Man. It's Macho, Becky, Cena, and Roman Reigns. Yeah, I miss that stuff. Ice cream bars. Oh,
Ken Rosenthal just reported that the Tigers are willing to trade pretty much everyone on the team, including Tariq Skubal.
Yeah, I probably should know who that is, but I don't know who the fuck that is.
He's the Tigers' best starting pitcher. He's a lefty. He is 25 years old and under team control until 2027.
Yeah, but how good is he? What are his stats?
He is making literally no money.
That's a huge. He is
pretty damn good. He's making like $1 million this year and under team control until 2027. So this season, he's thrown 106 innings. He's got a 3.88 ERA. He's playing for the goddamn Tigers, though. I mean,
but I was expecting you to be like fucking 2-3 ERA or some shit.
He's worth one WAR. He's got 111 strikeouts and 106 innings. He's got a WHIP just over one. His ERA plus is a 101, which he's above league average.
How do you calculate ERA plus again?
I don't remember. I think it takes things like factoring like anything that you control yourself. So not like balls hit and play that your fielders fuck up. It's like strike, walk out, home run.
He probably cost more than Castillo.
Oh, he would cost a shit fuck ton more. I would give up a bunch of prospects for him.
The Yankees can't keep prospect hugging, but I'm not willing to give up the top three for anybody outside of like Juan Soto.
I would give up.
I guess Peraza is technically what in the top three.
Yeah.
So I would use him for anybody else. I wouldn't give up the Martian or Volpe for anybody other than Juan Soto.
I mean, even for Luis Castillo, you're getting him for a year and a half. That's two playoffs.
I'm not trading away one of those two guys, especially when he has to cut his hair and you know he's not going to be as good.
Oh, that's true. He'd have to cut his hair.
It's just so dumb.
The people saying that they wouldn't trade, there are actually people out there saying that they would not trade the Martian Dominguez for Juan Soto because he could be like Juan Soto. Motherfucker, he's 2 years younger than Juan Soto, and Juan Soto has been being Juan Soto for four fucking years now.
Even though he's having a down year this year, he's still, that's like saying you wouldn't trade that fucking prospect in hockey for Connor McDavid because he could be the next Connor McDavid. He's already Connor McDavid. Fucking take
exactly.
Him.
And you're getting Juan Soto for 2.5 years? Like, you're getting him for three playoff pennant chases.
Well, I feel like you wouldn't make that trade unless you can re-sign him.
I still think he's going to hit free agency no matter what. I think you make that trade.
You think if the Yankees traded for him and they offered him $450, $500 million, he's not going to take it?
He would say no.
I feel like he wouldn't. He's not going to get more than... There's
Boris
no way
would make him say no.
He's not getting more than $500 million. I don't think he's even going to get that.
He will get 500 at least.
I bet you he doesn't.
You want to put no this way. Down? Whenever he does sign a contract, he'll make $50 million a year.
I don't think so. Sometimes the owners are just going to be like, this is ridiculous. Look at what we gave Mike Trout and look where we're sitting right now. There's just no fucking way.
Well, Mike Trout isn't making a shit ton. He's only making 36.
He got $400 million on top of whatever his other deal was. People are going to be like, we can't give one fucking guy $500 million.
There's no salary cap.
Yeah, but if you want to fucking pay a guy $50 million every year, no way.
I mean, the Mets are paying old-ass Max Scherzer 43.
Yeah, for three years, maybe.
And pitch that every fifth day.
Yeah, but there's just no way. You're committing $500
million. Honestly, not even signing Soto, getting him for 2.5 years is worth giving up like the top five prospects.
Him hitting bombs from the left side is insane. But you kiss Judge goodbye.
Oh, you're kissing Judge goodbye either way. But if you trade it for Soto right now, you at least get, you know, three more months of Judge and Soto. We're never going to do it.
I bet you the Yankees don't even make an offer. They're not going to want to pay Stanton's contract plus Soto's
Stanton
contract.
Makes pennies, though, compared to everybody else now.
Doesn't matter. It's still the full $300 million contract. They already have one of those. They don't want to fucking add another one.
I think he's going to end up either on the Padres or Mariners.
There's no way the Padres can justify doing that. They've already handed out like eight of those contracts, and they still suck.
Yep.
They're in second place, but they're like a distant second now. Oh, they were in first place, I swear to God, and then like 2 minutes later, they're like 10 games back.
But also, they've been doing this without Tatis the entire season.
Even with him, I feel like it's not. They're just. It's like the fucking Angels for some reason. They just can't like just be good. The Angels are hilarious. Could you imagine
Angels money next year
if they traded Ohtani?
They should.
He'd be an idiot to stay there. When is he a free agent after next year?
I think no, 2024. I think so. Yeah, after next year,
he's a moron for going there in the first place. But I don't want to play on the East Coast. I wonder if that's actually. Like, legitimately real. Like, what a fucking pussy. What does it have to? What was the reasoning? Is it like fucking time difference better than for Japan or some shit? Or one of those weird things?
I think that is a thing. I'm not sure if that was his reasoning, but I know that is a thing. The time difference is better for Japan in on the West
Coast. It's only 3 hours. Fuck yourself, bro. You could have come to the Yankees and been a fucking star.
I think it's also a shorter flight to Japan from the West Coast. I think.
Yeah, for a couple hours, right?
Yeah, it saves you like 6 hours probably.
I guess, yeah, it is a 6 hour flight to from like LA to New York. But quit being a pussy. You could have been a fucking the face of baseball and fucking as a Yankee.
I was reading an article that Ken Rosenthal had done on The Athletic, and they were talking about the prospect of the Angels trading Ohtani.
But and could you imagine if they just completely went into rebuild, traded Trout, Ohtani, and fucking everyone?
Well, that's the thing. They said that Artie Moreno doesn't want to do a rebuild. So if they traded Ohtani, he wouldn't want prospects. He would want guaranteed bona fide major league players. No contending team is going to trade guys from the starting lineup to get Ohtani.
I mean, what if they're better than? What if, I mean, Ohtani's probably better than any guy who would, but that would be like court making like a lateral move, I guess, kind of.
Yeah, it'd be like he does pitch offering. It'd be like the Yankees offering Glaber, DJ LeMahieu, and any young guy who's like on the major league roster because we don't have anybody that's like young and good. Well,
you literally can't do that because you'd lose too much of your lineup unless you're getting like Trout and Ohtani for DJ, Judge, Stanton, and Glaber.
You know, for a long time, even then,
you just lost two starters.
That's true. And, you know, for a long time, honestly, if you had said, like, the Angels would give you Mike Trout for Aaron Judge straight up, I would say do it in a heartbeat. Mike Trout's more injury-prone than Aaron Judge has been.
At least this year, for sure. But Trout is always on the fucking – I feel like the last few years, he's always on the injured list. Like
I actually looked this up. Since 2017, so 2017 to now, he's missed 31% of his games, Trout.
What's Judge?
Judge has missed about – almost the same.
Trout's still so much better. It's disgusting. How old is Trout now? 31?
31.
And Judge is 29?
He's 30 already.
And Trout's been doing it for fucking God knows how much longer.
He's been doing it for a decade. I mean, I just... Yeah.
I feel like the Yankees aren't going to make any... Because if you deal your big prospects for fucking... I don't think they're going to trade all three of them to fucking surround the team with talent for this year. That's completely... overhauling the system, but you need Castillo. I would take Ian Happ and D-Rob over that fucking anti-vax moron at Benintendi.
Same.
And somebody tweeted, I think, who was it, Barlow on the Royals was a good reliever. If you can get him and Benintendi, well, why don't you just get D-Rob, Ian Happ, and then go get Barlow instead of fucking Benintendi?
If we get seven starting pitchers too, like,
I mean, they need at least one.
You know what I could see them doing? We do need to. For a team that's in first place, we have way too many glaring holes.
How many times does a team trade for one or two starters, one or two relievers, and an outfielder? Like, that's just impossible.
Yeah, you got to choose the lesser of two evils. And honestly, I think we're not going to get an outfielder. Even though Stanton hurt now, I feel like kind of accentuates the fact that we need an outfielder.
Brett Gardner, baby. I'm fine if they trade for two starters or one starter and two relievers, or at least two relievers and a starter, and they brought Gardner in, I'd be fine with that.
Honestly, I'll take Brett Gardner right now. I mean, I honestly would.
If we have to give up too much for fucking Ian Happ or fucking Benintendi, no thank you.
Ian Happ's under team control for 2 years, though.
So I mean, if we could get him and D-Rob, I'm giving up Peraza and whatever the fuck else you want other than the top two guys.
Same. Happ's a switch hitter, too. Like, that's good to have.
How many shortstop prospects do we fucking need? Like, really?
Trade Trey Sweeney.
We don't need this many. Didn't they just draft a shortstop, too?
Yeah, of the five position players you drafted, one of them was a shortstop. Everybody needs a shortstop. Like, there's three shortstops for every freaking spot in the minor leagues. I think, realistically, if we traded for Luis Castillo, that might allow them, because they obviously have to watch people's innings, maybe then you move a Severino to the bullpen. To save his innings.
How hurt is he? When is he back?
Probably not for another month.
So he's probably good on innings, maybe. Nestor's probably going to be dead.
Because they
Tyone will probably be dead.
Tyone needs 2 weeks off. And I read that someone said that like Stanton going on the injured list right now with the lead that the Yankees currently have, it's going to mean he's rested for the playoffs.
It's true, but like we
got to get there first.
Blue Jays are hot. if we blow a 12 game lead with what, like 60 something games left, I'm never watching baseball again.
I mean, I think the Blue Jays will get it closer. I still think we win the division, but there's no way we're going to end up with the number one seed. I think the Astros are going to get it.
Well, they're a better team, and they're hotter.
Would you see who the Astros, if the playoffs started today, the Yankees would obviously be the number one seed. We would play the winner of Toronto and Tampa.
Terrible.
You know who the Astros would play?
Minnesota or someone?
Minnesota or Seattle.
So much easier.
Like right now, on paper, I would rather be the two seed. But if Seattle gets a Juan Soto, fuck off. I want no part of that.
There's no way. Can we go to like, can we have that thing where we get to pick who we play again? Wasn't that on the table? Like now we could pick.
Astros. We want the best.
I don't think that's possible, but I don't want to play fucking Toronto. Tampa, they don't scare me as much because they're fucking like decimated with injuries, but they'd probably still beat us.
I think the Astros are going to get Wilson Contreras, they said too, to update the catching position.
Fuck them. All right, let's start with Wilson Contreras.
It's two L's.
Oh, wow, he spells it with two L's. I already hate that guy. Ooh, I got a three for us. He bats righty, throws righty, and he's 30. It's a 30-year-old non-catcher, probably in the American League.
Let's go Aaron Judge. He's 30.
Imagine how 30. Easy that would be. Oh, my God, we got everything correct. He's an American League right-hander from America who's 30 and plays center field. I love how they have Judge as a center fielder. I know he plays there a lot.
You know who I'm thinking, right?
Well, are you thinking NL? Since NL Central wasn't highlighted at all, this is probably the AL West or the AL Central.
Yes, AL West or Central.
30-year-old center fucking fielder. Mike Trout's not 30.
I think he's turning 31, so I think he is.
Really? You think it might be Trout?
I think it's Trout.
That's crazy. They're both the same age, and he's been doing it for longer.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Wow. All right, that was pretty fucking easy.
Do we go to the football one now? Make it more difficult for ourselves?
Well, let's play the hard. Well, did we get the last time we played the hard version? Where the fuck?
I don't think last time we did, but the time before that we did.
All right, I'm going to pick somebody at random. Ryan Tannehill. Oh, all right, cool. That's all I got.
All right, so let's guess a...
Younger than 33.
So it could be in the AFC. I always guess running back first. Let's try younger than 33. Try Melvin Gordon. No, is that Melvin Gordon the running back?
Yeah, but I feel like he's probably around that age, right? No, he's probably younger. He just looks...
He's got to be younger than 33, no?
AFC West running back who's younger than 29. Shorter than 6'1", and his number is lower than 25. What's Eckler's number?
I have no idea, but I think he's got to be shorter than that. That's right.
He's definitely shorter, right? Oh, so he's 6 feet tall. Fucking so close, goddammit. He's younger than 27.
Is Josh Jacobs
running back? Is it Clyde?
Try Clyde.
I'll go. You said it yours first. Josh Jacobs. He's age 24. He's taller than 5'10". Clyde seems like he's under 6 feet, but let's go with Clyde. God damn it. Of course, it's a fucking other Kansas City running back. He's old. He's 24 years old. Clyde is only 5'7". Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I did not
I would have never that. Thought he was that short.
Who else is the... Didn't they just sign somebody? I was looking at this the other day. Who?
Ronald Jones.
Oh, that's right. No, there's no way he's...
There's no way he's 24.
No. Who's their third string running back?
I don't think... They got rid of Darrell Williams.
Fuck. I don't want to do Ronald Jones because there's no chance he's 24 years old.
He's got to be like 30 at this point, right?
But I don't know anybody else on the Chiefs.
Ronald Jones is like 28 or 29, isn't he?
He has to be. All right. We'll just do it for shits. How?
How is he 24?
What the fuck? I was absolutely positive that he was fucking close to 30.
No, I know, 100%. He was on the Bucks for like 5 years.
What the fuck is that?
I'm looking this up right now. Ronald Jones II.
How long has he been in the league? Watch him been in the league for like 3 years.
He's been in the league since fucking 2018.
That's insane. Who's the Bucks backup now?
He was drafted in the second round by the Bucks. So he wasn't even 21 yet when he got drafted by the Bucks. He was still 20 because his birthday is in August. So he turns 25 next month.
That's insane. Can you tell me the Bucks depth chart at running back?
Right now?
Yeah.
I don't even think I could tell you who the fucking starting running. Leonard Fournette, yes, right?
Yeah. I've never even heard of the second and third stringers. You've heard of the fourth stringer. He's been around for like 40 years.
Let's see what we got here.
I think he was still on the Bucks last year.
Rashad White, who spells Rashad, R-A-C-H. Never heard of you. He's got to be a rookie, right?
You were supposed to guess, you fuck.
I could have never guessed. Giovanni Bernard is on the Bucks now?
He's been on the Bucks.
When the hell that happened?
He was on the Bucks last year, at least.
Really?
Yeah, he was like their pass catching. He had 8 attempts for 58 yards.
Wow.
But receiving, he had 29 targets and 23 catches.
Wow.
So the kind of stuff you know when you're like desperate for a fantasy running back. All right, who's a mediocre NFL defensive player?
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Think he's mediocre?
He's old now.
NFC East highlighted and age 30 highlighted.
Over the age of 30.
Yeah. So let's go AFC East. I don't know if it's technically a defensive player, but
it could be an offensive player.
Who's somebody old in the AFC East?
Somebody old in the AFC East. It's got to be somebody on the Patriots then, right?
How old is Devin Singletary? He's not, can't be over 30.
No, he can't be over 30.
Who's some old ass fuck on the?
Yeah, well, Malcolm Butler. He's on the Patriots.
Nothing. All right, so it's in the NFC. Shorter than 5'11.
So he's 31?
Yeah. 31-year-old in the NFC. How old is... Right,
NFC... if it's a fucking Falcon or Panther, I'm just going to be pissed off.
Let's see. 31-year-old. Obviously, fucking... Matt Ryan is not 31.
No.
Fucking Falcon and Panthers.
What about Jared Goff?
Is he 31?
He can't. Maybe not.
NFC North is QB adjace. What the fuck does that mean?
What does QB adjace mean?
That's ridiculous.
He's thrown a pass in his life? It's
NFC
OBJ is not. What about, not OBJ then. Because he's not in the NFC North.
North. Is it how old is Kirk Cousins? He's got to be older than 31, right? There's no way. He's got to be mid 30s. If Kirk Cousins is 31, I'm fucking killing myself.
He's probably 32 or 33.
He's 33.
Okay.
So it's not Detroit and it's not Minnesota. Aaron Rodgers definitely too old. What is QB adjace though?
I don't understand what that is. He's thrown a pass in his career. So it could be a running back or a wide receiver that's thrown a pass or a tight end.
How old is Aaron Jones?
He's not that old. He's like 26.
What? I can't think of another position who's fucking would be adjacent to a quarterback.
What about trying to think on the Bears?
Any defensive player?
What defensive player is a quarterback adjacent? It's got to be an offensive player.
I don't know.
It's got to be an offensive player.
Maybe it was a guy, a cornerback who intercepted the ball and then like lateraled it through a pass.
I'm trying to think of people on the Bears. Other than David Montgomery and Darnell Mooney, I couldn't name you another player that's not a quarterback that could
be Cole Kmet still on there?
He is.
Is he 31?
There's no way he's that old.
Yeah. Fucking A.
So it's got to be a Packer then.
Oh, just because we couldn't name any more Bears? You know, you think they're eliminated? Let me put how do you spell his name?
K-M.
He's got to be like 25. It's going to be way off. But okay, so it's the fucking.
So it's the Packers.
It's tight end to Jace. I just
so it's got to be a wide receiver then. If it's tight end to Jace, it's not a running back. It's got to be a wide receiver.
All right. Who's an old wide receiver on the Packers? They got Randall Lazard. Cobb. No, it had your yeah. That's
it's
it.
Randall Cobb. Well, it could be Sammy Watkins though too.
No, definitely Cobb. That is annoying. QB at Jace.
Now I need to look up. Has Randall Cobb ever thrown a goddamn pass?
It feels like Randall Cobb should also be closer to 40.
How is he only 31?
That's disgusting. I don't know.
He's like he was on the Cowboys, I feel like 7 years ago.
That's disgusting. I hate my life.
All right, so Randall Cobb. All right, let's see here.
Fucking Randall's nickname is Corn on the.
And that was actually really witty.
I mean, if that's not your nickname and your last name's Cobb, you should just, what are you doing with your life? Yo, Corn on the, come here.
Do you think Chris Berman ever calls him Randall Corn on the Cobb?
I would hope so. What are you looking up? His fucking high school stats?
Well, I'm trying to see if he's ever thrown a goddamn pass. Yeah, he's 1-for-4 in his career throwing passes.
Maybe they highlight it because it's on the offensive side. I don't know. That pissed me off.
That's some bullshit.
All right. Why don't you go over the WWE shakeup? Give us fucking everybody's rundown of all their new positions and bullshit. Because fucking Vinnie Mac retired. Never thought I'd see it. Legit.
Remember, so on Friday when he sent that goddamn tweet out, I thought he got hacked. Like, I thought it was fake at first. Didn't you?
No, because you just told me he retired.
Oh, but if you had seen it, wouldn't you have thought it was fake?
No, I would have just been like, wait, what? This is like his fucking, tweet are you getting Friday. Everybody? Are you about to get arrested? He still owns the WWE, which is insane.
4:05 p.m. at 77, time for me to retire. Thank you, WWE Universe. Then, now, forever, together. Hashtag WWE.
I can't tell you how much I hate the together fucking added into there.
Yeah, why did they add that?
I hate it so much. It's insane that he's fucking retired. Although it's weird that I don't understand. Did he pay with WWE money?
He used his own money.
Okay, then why do you have to report that?
So I actually looked into that. So for anyone, he is in a lot of trouble. Now, like, the SEC is investigating him and, like, the feds. The WWE has to put out new quarterly earning reports for, like, 2019, 2020, 2021, and the first quarter of 2022 because of that.
But I don't understand why.
Because it's a publicly traded company, he doesn't get to decide on a whim what's a personal expense versus what's a company expense. So because he paid that hush money out of his own personal money, it was to make sure something about his company, something he was doing at his company, didn't come out.
So if he just bought a car, that doesn't matter?
No. He would have to acknowledge that as a personal expense, but he made payments from his own money to benefit the company. So it technically is a company expense and should have been accounted for as such.
I guess you can look at it to benefit the company. It was more to benefit fucking him.
But also the company, because if that stuff came out, look what happens.
I mean, he's been accused of fucking rape and shit, fucking covering up murder. Nobody seems to give a shit.
They weren't a publicly traded company when that happened.
They've been a publicly traded company forever, and all these sexual allegations have been out for years. Like, nobody cares.
So, yeah, now, like, all the stuff with the NDAs.
Did you really think you weren't going to get caught? Somebody was going to fucking find that out.
I'm surprised it took this long. I still tell you, my conspiracy theory is Shane McMahon got pissed off when Vince sent him home with the Royal Rumble, and he was the whistleblower. He leaked it.
It's also not like the fucking... What's their new earnings report going to be? $8 million less? Oh, shit. Yeah, wow. What a waste of time. Who cares? I feel like nothing's going to ever come of it. It's going to be like, you should have reported this, but you didn't. It's not like he's embezzled money or anything like that. He's just a hush money idiot.
So I just pulled up an article, brand new article posted an hour ago from CNBC. WWE at crossroads as Vince McMahon's retirement and scandals heighten sales speculation.
Well, I mean, if he's no longer involved, it wouldn't surprise me if he wants to sell all of his shares. What would be the point of hanging on to him? Coming back later? Do you imagine he comes back like next year?
There's no way. There's no way.
If he still owns all the shares, what is he going to do with it?
So it says, so what happened to WWE shares when McMahon announced his unexpected retirement after the bell Friday? They shot higher, rising more than 8% on Monday. So the stock went up after he retired.
You would have thought the opposite.
Yeah, I would have thought it would have tanked.
I guess people realize that, like, now it might actually get good again. People might start getting into wrestling.
The spike was driven by heightened investor sentiment that a sale is coming. Hmm. Newly appointed co-CEO Nick Khan openly discussed the concept of selling already this year, months before McMahon stepped down amid a Wall Street Journal investigation. As we say, we're open for business, Khan said in March on the Ringer's The Town podcast. The timing of a deal could hinge on the WWE's upcoming U.S. TV rights renewal, loosely scheduled for mid-2023.
God, if that five-year deal is already almost up.
Yep.
I remember when they fucking $1 billion per show.
That's an acquirer may decide it makes more sense to buy the company than strike a temporary rights deal. Fox owns the rights to SmackDown. NBC Universal, that's a hard word to say apparently, owns the rights to Raw, the top of the two WWE TV properties. The deals both end in the fourth quarter of 2024. So they start doing the new TV deals a year before they go up.
I don't want fuck Fox.
Global media companies are on the hunt for intellectual property they can use as a basis for recurring TV series and films and theme park attractions for those that own them. WWE is attractive as an acquisition because of a media owner can sell real-time advertising on live programming and potentially keep audiences paying for traditional pay TV, which is a diminishing but lucrative revenue stream.
This is one of the reasons why I kind of just wanted Vince to never go away. Because you never know what's going to happen if the company is owned by somebody else.
Yep, and it says that the top likely companies that would pursue WWE for purchase, Comcast, Disney, Warner Brothers, which is now called Warner Brothers Discovery, Paramount Global, Apple, Amazon, and Netflix.
Do you imagine fucking Jeff Bezos? If somebody's going to own it, just like own it and then let other people run it. Like, if Jeff Bezos owns it and he's just like, I just want the money. Do whatever you got to fucking do to make us the most money. I don't care about the product on TV. But then we'd have, like, fucking Monday Night Raw every fucking fourth week on Prime or some bullshit like that.
Yeah, it'd be on Prime exclusively.
Yeah.
One of the ones in the industry on here is Warner Brothers Discovery. Those are the people like that have AEW rights.
That's true. But I feel like any major company is going to be like, yeah, this is a moneymaker. Let's try and get it.
If anyone other than NBC Universal was going to buy WWE, I think it would be Disney.
I feel like the actual worth for WWE is probably like $4 billion, but I could see it selling for like double. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I could see it going for $7, $8 billion.
All those fucking shares. But I feel like they would want it to be, they would want to buy all the shares back and not make it publicly traded anymore. Unless, like, is Warner Brothers and all those, are those publicly traded?
Yeah.
And then maybe they won't give a shit.
So a city analyst said, we suspect the street will interpret Mr. McMahon's retirement as a precursor to an eventual sale of WWE. We're not sure that as a reasonable conclusion, since WWE will still be a controlled company with 100% of the Class B shares held by the McMahon family. So if the McMahon family ever starts selling shares, expect that sale to fucking happen.
Well, Stephanie has sold a lot of her shares recently.
I think Triple H did too.
Over the last few, I don't know if they were just like, I don't know what the reasoning was. Maybe they just wanted the cash, or maybe they thought that like their time in the company was coming to an end. But like, yeah, you'd have to buy all, Vince owns what, like 80% of the shares?
Something like that. Yeah. He is the majority shareholder by a shit ton. Like,
see if you can find out what the exact percentage is. Cause if they just buy all of his shares and they basically own the company. So like, what is it? Who cares? Then I'm sure like his grandkids all have some. I wonder how much Shane has.
Vince owns 81% of the voting shares.
So he only let out a little fucking, he owns 81?
81%.
So they didn't even sell 20% of the shares. That's crazy. That's so fucking. I wonder what is. Does it say what it's worth? I guess it depends on what the stock market is that day, but that's got to be at least 4 or 5 billion. That's crazy.
It has to be.
We should pool our resources and see if we can make an offer.
So now looking up, like, how much is WWE worth? Oh, the stock went down now about 3% today. They said that WWE is worth about just under $5 billion.
So it could easily, if you get into a bidding war, that could go 8, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, that was as of 2020. Now, as of 2022, they're saying WWE is worth approximately $5.71 billion.
Oh, yeah. That's going closer to 10 if there's a bidding war.
Oh, yeah.
Completely. Yeah, Tony Khan could totally buy AEW. You fucking kid, or WWE. People who think that are so fucking dumb. First of all, he's not worth anywhere close to couple $100 million? Like, what's his net worth? Does it say? Or is he just linked to his dad?
Well, Chad Khan's net worth is only like $7 billion, excuse me.
If that, yeah.
Let's see, Tony Khan's net worth. Oh, it's 7.4. I love how it does link him in with his dad. It says his net worth is estimated $7 billion. No, that's his dad, bitch.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
It's saying that he currently has an estimated net worth of $1 billion, which he probably got as a birthday present from his dad.
Yeah, that feels too high. But then, okay, so they pool their resources and say that at best they have $8 billion. You're going to spend their entire net worth on a wrestling company? Fuck out of here. No chance. Literally none. Literally zero. That's hilarious.
Mark Cuban is only worth $4.7 billion. I say only, but like...
I kind of hope that like Warner Brothers buys it and then just nobody wants AEW.
That would be hilarious if they bought WWE and it kicked AEW off.
I only want AEW to fail because Tony's such a fucking loser. If they had just a fucking like Billy Corgan running the fucking show or somebody who wasn't such a giant douche, I wouldn't like... help King whoever. Douche. Whoever buys it tries to fucking run them out of business. Now it's going to be interesting to see who wants to go back there. Because now WWE is like a legit option for other people. Especially the ones who have left and might want to go back. Like I could see Dean. I could have seen fucking Moxie going back anyway. But now depends on the money.
Well, I think even people who had been released, you know, that had a good relationship with Triple H, who now, you know, next thing that happened was they announced that Triple H is now the head of WWE Creative. That was one of the announcements yesterday that came out. Like
Adam Cole could fucking actually, you know, be a fucking star on the main roster now that
Johnny Gargano, like all these people that could have and should have been.
I wonder how many people are in AEW and they're going, fuck, if I just fucking held on and stayed there. Because I don't care. Oh yeah, Adam Cole's only wrestling in front of 100 people in NXT. Fine. He's nothing like he was in NXT. He is built as just some fucking random guy.
But they'll say he's having fun with his friends.
But he was NXT. And now he's just like a guy who couldn't win a fucking feud.
The whole he's getting pops and all that stuff, they're not popping for him. They're popping to be able to go baby.
He's still great, but it's just like he's just so much less important than he was in NXT.
Do you think Keith Lee is thinking like, man, if I'd stuck with that Bearcat gimmick for 6 months, I'd be dropping that and I'd be Keith Lee again?
I mean, it's just hilarious to me that people think Keith Lee and Swerve are a big deal. It's just like a mediocre random tag team. Like, it's fucking nothing.
They're bootleg Crime Time.
It's like Keith Lee is not doing anything cool. It's Game Changer. That's what pisses me off.
Everyone that goes there's a Game Changer.
The hipster in me is just like everybody makes seem to be like it's the best thing ever, and it's just so overrated. Everybody's like a goddamn man, game changer.
Like, I feel like that meme, old man yelling at cloud. Like any person that goes to AEW is supposed to be like amazing and great. Like when Ember Moon, now known as Athena, went there, it was supposed to be amazing. She's feuding on fucking Rampage with like Jade Cargill, who's not going to lose to her. Well, you're going to have Jade Cargill lose her first fucking match to Athena? Fuck off.
People really thought fucking Swerve was going to be a fucking game changer?
Yeah.
I like Swerve a lot, but are you fucking kidding me?
People losing their shit about Toni Storm. She's playing second fiddle to the fucking world champion, women's world champion, who's never on TV as it is. I know it's going to end up being that she's going to turn on Thunder Rosa and that's going to end up being the program. She's
also making more money selling feet pics, probably.
100%. I mean, I do think it's interesting that they named Stephanie and Nick Khan co-CEO. That makes sense. I think
I'm so glad it's not just Stephanie.
I think it's smart to do that because he's definitely more on the.
He's already in power basically anyway.
Exactly. And I think having him be like the business side of things and letting her do the other aspects of what the CEO does, but have him focus on like the investors and things like that, something that he's more accustomed to doing. Frankly, he was more qualified to do that than Vince was.
Probably. Fucking
and Nick Triple Khan. H being Nick Khan, creative.
Nick Khan's fucking plan is already like, it's like, what, a year ago or something? He's already got Vince McMahon out. He probably leaked that shit.
Can you blame him? I'm happy he did. And, you know, honestly, just, I know it was the first effing day with Triple H in charge of creative. Raw actually felt different yesterday.
Really? It didn't feel any different to me.
I mean, the way it started was different. It started with like a cold open of The Miz and Logan Paul beating the shit out of each other. That storyline just sucks in itself, but it was a different way to open.
It made no sense. What the fuck are you, why do you have them out there doing shit before? But fucking, I feel like Nick Khan is the reason that there were so many releases. So I feel like Triple H isn't going to have his way with just, let me bring back all these fucking NXT guys and shit.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have his way. I don't think
much is going to be different. But I feel like Nick Khan probably doesn't care about creative. But he's like, we're not going to hire. Although maybe, he does like wrestling. I wonder why he got rid of all those people. Maybe it was because Vince wanted that done and he was just doing what he was told. Or he just has the same philosophy. Because I could see, like, they're not going to bring back fucking Killer Cross and all these fucking people. Like, no way. Plus, they're all signed anyway.
I could see a couple coming back.
But Nick Khan's going to be like, why are we spending more money on these fucking people? We just got rid of them. Sasha's going to come back if she wasn't released.
I think she was released, which is going to be hilarious.
But there's never been any official report. You would have heard somebody been like, yeah, it happened. It was just like, we think she went to somebody who gave her a release, but there's no confirmation.
But so how would, like, she be able to do the convention or whatever that she did or is doing?
Because if you have a good lawyer, you can always get out of that shit. Like, I think Del Rio got out of it because you're an independent contractor, but you can't do anything else. Like, if you have the money, you can get out of it.
I read a great tweet last night.
She should come back.
The guy said, I'm convinced this is a new era as WWE just cut to the Mysterio family in the back watching the TV at a head-on angle like normal people would do.
I didn't even notice that. But they had that party of random people who were for no reason. And it was just fucking weird.
I mean, I think the storylines will get better. Obviously, you got to get through SummerSlam, which I'm not even remotely excited for.
I'm excited for. I'm sick of Roman. Like, you got to take the fucking belts off of him. Stop unifying the titles, and just like, give me something else. Sick of the Usos. You're gonna keep the titles on them for fucking ever. Like, they have to lose. Just have the whole bloodline lose.
I think Roman wins because he should not drop the title to Brock.
I don't think Brock is gonna win either.
I think the Street Profits do beat the Usos.
I just this is their last match, so I feel like Roman's gonna win, and then Lesnar's never on TV again, ever.
But I also don't see, like,
get the titles off the guy.
I don't see Drew McIntyre beating him for the title. Like, Drew's not even on the effing pay-per-view.
I've been saying this for months. That's the fucking end of his storyline, is to finally beat Roman. He's never beaten Roman. Roman's a heel now. Just let fucking Drew win the title in front of people, for God's sake.
Like, do it in the UK too would be huge. But he's not even on. Not even on SummerSlam.
Except he's not from that fucking part of the UK. Still, completely different from where he's from.
I know it's completely different from where he's from, but it's as close to being from where he's from than, you know, Piscataway, New Jersey.
I feel like it's not going to be the same reaction as if it was in Scotland.
True.
But, like, just fucking enough, Roman. Like, I get excited when he comes out because his theme is so fucking awesome, but it's like the same shit every week. Like, enough.
I mean, his promo last night with Theory was good. It was different.
Yeah, it's because of Theory.
Yeah, but when Roman said, your daddy's not here anymore, I popped.
They wrote that line for him. There's no way he came up with that. Scripted no, promos, 100%, baby.
100% wrote that for him, but it was a great line. You saw what I sent to you and Alex earlier, who Meltzer thought that was about.
There's no, I don't understand how you could be that dumb. It's so obvious who it was about. The guy who just fucking quit, you moron.
The fact that he thought it was really about Johnny Gargano because they were in a goddamn.
Your father's not here anymore. He hasn't been in the company in like 6 months. What are you talking about?
What a moron.
Yeah, I wonder if Theory's probably pissed. He's like, oh, fuck, there goes my meal ticket. But I feel like they're still going to push him. He's too young and too good to not He still looks like a fucking fiend mask, though. It's fucking
scary. His face bothers me. You know, I honestly think that the future with, like, you know, the Braun Breakers, the Theories, they're actually going to get a chance now, whereas Vince would get tired of them, except Theory. Like, if they brought Braun Breaker up to the main roster in a week, Vince would have gotten tired of him after 2 weeks and repackaged him completely.
I would say yes if it was maybe anybody else, but he's too fucking good.
You'd hope.
He'd probably be one of the guys that could break through because he's jacked. But, like, Adam Cole would have never had a chance.
No, none.
Gargano maybe Bobby, maybe Bobby Fish, but no one, nobody else. Only Bobby Fish. I don't even know. They're both hurt, aren't they?
I think Fish is finally back now. Wrestling on, like, Dark and Elevation and stuff.
Oh, God. I can't imagine going to an AEW show and sitting through Dark and Elevation. I would literally get there late and miss that on purpose.
For 16 hours or whatever it is.
Good wrestling. Like, I don't like sitting through shows that are that long.
That's why I can never go to a WrestleMania that's like 7 hours.
You'd make it. Like, at least those are, like, it's WrestleMania. You can imagine sitting at a fucking, like, June taping of Elevation or Dark. Like, that's awful.
Or, like, Dynamite. When they're taping shit before, you have Dynamite, and they're taping Rampage after.
Just to get to the fucking main show. At least you're not, that's like sitting through 10 hours of pre-show just to get to the fucking main card. It's like, no.
Hard. Not worth it. So, the SummerSlam card. Let's quickly go through the SummerSlam card here. They just added another match this morning.
I hope Becky fucking wins.
We have...
If she loses, what the fuck's the point?
Bianca versus Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's title.
But I feel like Bianca still wins. But then I don't know if Becky goes from there.
I think Bianca still wins. And then when the hell is the draft? Becky's got to go to SmackDown.
Well, then Seth has to go to SmackDown.
I'd be okay with that. Have Seth beat Roman.
I feel that's been done already. Give fucking somebody the rub. Give it to Drew, goddammit. Let him finish his fucking story arc.
What if Theory cashes in and wins the title?
That's probably more likely than Brock winning.
What if Theory cashed in and pinned Brock?
That's what I was going to say. Is because I don't think Brock's going to be champion. But I feel like you have the big beast beat Lesnar, or beat Roman, and then you have Theory cash in so he doesn't beat Roman. Because I wouldn't want my guy who just had the Universal title for 700 days to lose via cash in. Have Brock beat him and then fucking Theory somehow cashes in. Have the fucking Usos and Roman beat the shit out of him and then Theory cashes in and then Roman can go after Theory.
Like, because I could honestly see, because it's a last man standing match, so it's not like Theory is going to cash in mid match or something. Because how would that work? It's a last man standing match.
I guess technically, if he decided to cash in, would that make it a triple? There's no way he can. Would it make it a triple threat match, regular match? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
So I feel like if he is,
you imagine if he cashed in mid match, won the match, and then they restarted as a last man standing match.
Like, I wonder how that would work. But
so he'll probably cash in after it, or just let him hang on to it for a year and wait. But I don't see Lesnar win. I don't see Lesnar being champion the following day. Or
I don't. It shouldn't be
on Raw.
Especially since him being the champion, or him being in this match, was a, you know, I don't want to say a last minute decision, but it wasn't the original plans. A lot of things had to go sideways.
I thought the original plan was that, and then when he left, people were like, "Oh, Goldberg."
No, because originally all these people getting hurt, it was supposed to be Orton, and then Orton got hurt.
Were they really going to do that though?
Yeah, the original plan was Riddle at Money in the Bank, Orton at SummerSlam.
I know. I feel like that was not concrete. I would have loved that, where the way Orton was going, that would have been good. But that's even though they've already fought like 1,000 times, this still feels like, for some reason, it still feels like it's big. Even though I'm kind of sick of seeing them fight. At least it's a different type of match. But, you know, I feel like Roman's going to win because somebody's going to help him.
I think
everybody's going to help him. Fucking debut Solo Sikoa. He'll fucking come up for no reason.
I would love that. I wouldn't hate it.
I don't need the bloodline to expand unless Roman's not going to be on TV anymore. But I'm done with him. Let him come out as a special attraction without the fucking title. At least get rid of one of the fucking titles. Stop with the unification. You need two titles.
And if you're going to have one champion, have him at least be on both goddamn shows, not show up once a month.
That too. That's what I'm saying. Get the fucking titles off of him. But if you want to give him the Universal title, like, it's been 700 fucking days, for God's sake.
No, it'll be $6.99 on Saturday.
And I feel like he's defended it like 8 times.
against Brock Lesnar and Goldberg.
And then Kevin Owens a couple times, if that. Riddle once. After that, he actually had a title match against Sammy.
Yeah, I remember it lasted like 13 seconds.
I don't count. That doesn't count. But like legit title defenses, I don't know. Owens,
Kofi,
Goldberg,
Woods.
It's just fucking, it's not good.
So we assume Roman's going to win. Let's see. We got.
I could see it either way, depending on who wants to actually show up to work. I feel like Roman is most logical, Theory, and then Lesnar being champion on Raw.
Another match we have Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, I like Liv. I'm happy for her. Just couldn't be less interested.
Do you actually see her winning, though, Liv?
I mean, that would be like fucking Nikki, who got fucking cashed in and then just lost it right away. But they're actually going to do something with Liv. So have something happen. If you really need Ronda to not lose clean, then fucking, I don't know, have her fucking foot be on the rope or some bullshit.
Charlotte comes back, makes Ronda lose.
I would rather fucking Ronda just tap her out in 30 seconds than fucking see Charlotte. It's so nice without that bitch.
What else we got? We got in a no DQ match, the Mysterios versus Judgment Day.
I mean, is Dom going to finally turn heel, or can we just get rid of this angle? Like, either just do it or fucking move on.
I feel like with the no DQ stipulation, maybe that's when we see Edge.
He'll probably show up for no reason and then fucking interfere in the match, cause them to lose. Judgment Day loses all the time anyway, so what's fucking point?
It's ridiculous. Why? Like, they've ruined that stable.
Fucking Balor gets pinned on his birthday. I love when he was yelling, and I think they were beating the shit out of him. He goes, "It's my birthday!" And he just starts kicking him.
For the U.S. title, we got Lashley versus Theory. That should be a good match. Lashley's going to win, obviously.
Have Theory win and just be fucking double champ again, like fucking Rollins.
We got Riddle versus Seth Rollins. That's probably going to be match of the night.
Awesome.
That's going to be match. Riddle needs to win, though.
Seth's lost a lot recently, though.
I know. I feel like Seth loses like every feud, but I feel like Riddle needs it.
Riddle also gets pinned all the time. Why did you have him get pinned last night? Just so Seth can attack him?
Seth can attack him after, but also you want the Profits to look strong. They don't want to take the pin.
Angelo Dawkins never looks strong. Just let him get fucking pinned. That's the only reason, because you know Riddle's going to lose, but the Profits are going to win.
Yeah.
But fucking people lose all the time before the pay-per-view. Who cares? Don't have Riddle take the fucking pin.
We got the tag title match, the Usos versus the Street Profits with fucking Jeff Jarrett as the special guest referee.
Did they explain the logic behind that? I know he cut a promo saying why, but like, what? How did that even happen?
Because it's in Nashville, I guess. I don't know.
That's probably the reason. That's the only dumb thing about that match. He's going to be slow and fucking slow that match down, but that's going to be great.
Better than Jerry Lawler or something, another jackass from Tennessee.
He's more from, if it was in Memphis, yeah. You know it would be him. That match will be amazing.
I think the Street Profits win. They should.
They have to at this point.
They should.
If they don't, they're never getting the titles again.
We got Pat McAfee versus Happy Corbin. This has been the best booked feud, though, to be honest with you. Pat McAfee and Baron Corbin. Happy Corbin.
No, this match is not going to be interesting at all.
It's the best booked match.
It isn't, though. Street Profits and Usos have been having a feud for months. They just beat the shit out of each other at the commentary table. Nobody likes Corbin to begin with. And you're having an announcer take up a fucking match at SummerSlam. Fuck off.
Well, did you see that Corbin said Peyton Manning is going to be rooting for him over Pat McAfee?
He actually said that?
That's funny.
Yeah, our idiot punter. Who's going to be in McAfee's corner? Mike Vanderjack? Fucking idiot kicker and the idiot punter?
Oh, God, I forgot about Mike Vanderjack. And then in a match, the last match that we have that I could not give two shits about, Logan Paul versus The Miz.
If it was anybody but The Miz, I might care more. But
honestly, if you made it Logan Paul and AJ Styles versus The Miz and Ciampa, I'd like that better.
I guess they want to give Logan Paul a chance to actually wrestle.
He's going to win, obviously.
Carry somebody. I hope so. Fuck The Miz. The Miz is making me root for a fucking Paul brother, for God's sake.
Well, the crowd wants nothing to. The crowd has no like for Logan Paul. Last night, they were chanting one more time when The Miz gave him a skull crush finale.
Kind of bullshit, because I appreciate a guy who at least shows something like he's passionate about the fucking wrestling. Like, give me Bad Bunny, though. I want him back.
I miss that guy.
But he's actually talented, so he has shit going on.
That's true. I mean, Logan, at least Logan Paul's athletic.
Logan Paul's got a bunch of random shit, but he's not like, not Bad Bunny level.
That's true. That is true.
I need to buy that. Can you actually buy that fucking My Balls Are Massive shirt? Because I really want to buy that for somebody. Yes, you can. My ball. Hello, my balls are massive, and the back says it's a thing. What the fuck? And it's $28. If it wasn't that expensive, I'd fucking buy that.
People are probably that's going to sell out. Probably.
I do miss the "Hello, I'm awesome" shirt. I had that back in the day, just because it was such a great shirt. Yeah, SummerSlam Saturday. Got to remember that.
I'm going to work
and come home, and I'm going to forget.
I'm at a baby shower, an hour and 20 minutes away.
Oh, why are you going to that? That sounds terrible.
It's one of my friends, actually, not even one of Kate's.
I wouldn't have even showed up. Call out sick. You have COVID. That's an excuse now. I tested positive. Sorry.
Don't jinx me. I don't want that.
You probably would, though, to get out of that. You're vaccine boosted. You'll be fine. You don't have to go out to a social gathering. Give me the vid. What's your work story before we didn't even do a bracket. Fuck. What's your work story, though?
So I was talking to a coworker this morning, and she was like, you know, I was watching this show yesterday. I've always heard about it. I've never really watched it, but I gave it a watch, and one of the people on it reminds me of you.
Was it SmackDown?
I wish. She was like, yeah, you know, they have a sense of humor like yours, and you look just like them. I'm like, what show? She's like, Impractical Jokers. She said I look like Murr. She you said I look like Murr.
You wish you look like Murr. You're fucking ugly compared to Murr.
Hate Murr. Like, say I look like fucking Joe Fatto. Like, come on. No, why Murr?
Joe's legit, like, fucking ugly. Fuck that guy. That show, I'll be honest, I don't miss that guy at all. I love how he fucking quits to be, like, a better family guy. And he's on fucking more shit now than he was before.
He's on tour, like, 5 days a week. I don't get it.
And he's on fucking... I bought tickets to see Steve Byrne in Fairfield. But he's, like, on his... They have a podcast together. And I'm like, you're making me hate Steve Byrne. Fucking stop. Like, I just have an irrational hatred for Joe for quitting on his fucking best friends.
There has to be a backstory of, like, they had a falling out or something.
No, Q was just on the podcast.
I got nothing.
He's just an idiot. He didn't want to fucking put in the work or something like that. He didn't want to go on. Like, he wanted to do other things. You're going to fucking quit. And I'll be honest, the last two episodes I watched during the fucking some of the challenges, I was laughing harder than I did fucking when Joe was on the show. Like, it's not bad that he's not there. They're still funny.
When they're actually having actual, like, celebrities, how are people still getting duped? Like,
Jillian Bell put on a fucking wig. Okay. What's his face? Eric Andre, like, just came out dressed as, like, a something at the end. It wasn't like he was there for the whole time. He was doing, like, a celebration or something during the scenes. And then, like, Colin Jost was there, but they didn't do the punishment in front of people.
Oh, so they're actually trying
trying
to make it different. Okay.
But, like, Hugh gets all the, like physical punishments. Like, it's never like cringy anymore, but like Sal just had to do one where he had a disease where his balls were like tiny. I wonder if they got that from, they probably aired before, like they taped it before, but
it's probably taped it months ago. Maybe that's where they got it from.
He had like a syndrome where he had the smallest balls, and they had Dr. Frank check his balls in front of a crowd of people.
That's funny.
So I don't miss Joe Gatto. I just have an irrational hate for a guy who just quit on his best friends. Like, that'd be like me quitting on you and like, I'm not going to do this podcast anymore. And you have to do it alone.
I wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't know how to post this shit.
I have to. I'm doing a podcast with one of my friends, I think, next week. I feel like I'm just going to upload it to this. I'm not creating a new fucking podcast for a one-off. So it's going to be like I don't know what to call it, though. Like, do I call it like episode 39.5? Do I call it a special episode? Like, I don't know how to distinguish. What's the word I'm looking for?
I would distinguish it as like a special Ramulus episode. Like, this that ran a Jace.
That's what it is. But I'm like, I'm not creating a new fucking anchor just for like one episode. So I'm like, I'm just gonna throw it on this. So next week, I think we'll be recording on Monday night. Next week's the second, I think.
Yeah, it's the trade. It's no, Tuesday. Next Monday is the first.
Yeah, so
the
we'll
second
probably
is the trade deadline. First.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be goddamn it, because we could have recorded on the trade deadline, but that's when I have to record that other one. So Monday night, so you'll get two episodes of this. It's not going to be like the rant episode, but it's uploading on here and on YouTube, because I'm not fucking trying to push another fucking Anchor. I'm not setting up another Anchor account. I'm not doing any of that shit. I don't even know how to record in the same room as somebody. So I got to figure that out. I think I'm just going to fucking Zoom the meeting and he'll be at the other end of the table or something like that. Because I don't, Alex used GarageBand, but I think that's for Mac only.
I've never even heard of that.
That's what he used when we were in the fucking, in Danbury. I think it was GarageBand. And I'm like, I'm not learning a whole new system. I'll just go on Zoom and fucking, we can be in the same room recording. Because I'm pretty sure when we recorded in Danbury, we didn't pick up each other on our other microphones.
No.
So I think it should be fine. But like, there's no, like, I can't figure out if you can plug in two microphones and have one Zoom call or something like that. I can't, like, there's just too much fucking going on. So
I think you should be perfect.
It's such a pain in the ass. I'm like, I don't care at this point. I'll just sit across the room. We can Zoom each other. It's fine. I don't care at this point. As long as we can record it. And as long as the audio is fine. I don't even care about the video. And the only reason, because fucking once StreamYard can get its shit together and give me a pause button, which they're working on apparently. I don't know how that's not an instant feature. It's like if I'm shitting my pants right now, Ramey has to carry the broadcast for 20 minutes while I clean up.
It would take you 20 minutes?
Depending on how bad the shit is, I got to clean the chair and my shorts.
Fair enough.
And then the fucking liquid that's dripping from me running to the bathroom.
I'll just throw the chair away.
At this point, I probably would. I got this chair for free on Amazon because they sent it with a crack. Like one of the pieces of plastic. I think this is it. Somewhere. Yeah, they sent me a chair and they were just like, keep it.
That's convenient. Free chair.
Exactly. All right. So we don't need to do a bracket. We're already almost an hour and a half. So let's, we change the banner first. There it is.
Oh, no. Not even doing an unusual death.
I thought we might skip it this time.
What is this, amateur hour?
Fucking officially put it to rest. No? Keep doing it?
I hate you.
I'm going to pick a year then.
The anticipation is coming.
Have we done any from this year yet? Because there is one from 5 days ago.
We did not do one from 5 days ago, but we did do one from this year. It was, what was her name? Gene Langham? It was in like March.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. Let's do this new one that just happened. His name is, Klil, K-L-I-L, Kimi, K-I-M-H-I. July 21st, 2022. Don't be racist. A 32-year-old man died after he was sucked to his death when a sinkhole opened under a swimming pool. He was in at a house party in Israel.
Excuse me?
A sinkhole opened up under a swimming pool that he was in at a house party.
That's horrifying.
That sucks. That is terrible.
Was he the only one in the pool? Like, what the fuck?
I mean, he's the only one on the list, so maybe he was just fucking swimming by himself.
I look forward to looking into this, and it was 5 days ago? Wow.
I wonder if it was like an above ground pool and the sinkhole, that seems most logical, or if it was like an in ground pool and that's a really deep fucking sinkhole.
Yeah, like that's gonna be.
I was hoping maybe he got sucked off to death when I read that first. Like that's a way to go.
Death by blowjob?
That's the way I wanna go. There we go on this day. Go for it, Edge.
Wow. So, let's see things that happened on this day. So, we have some birthdays, obviously. There's some pieces of shit that were born on this day, though. Not all of them are pieces of shit, but some pieces of shit were born on this day.
It's not your birthday.
Mick Jagger turned 79. How is he only 79? I feel like he should be 89 at least, and he should be dead, probably. Damn. Like, he's on every drug on the face of the earth. All right, Sandra Bullock's birthday is today. How old do you think she is?
You froze.
Sandra Bullock, her birthday.
Oh, she's over 50. She's like mid-50s, I think. 55?
She's 58 today.
That's absurd. She looks...
You froze.
And now I fucking... Connection is unstable. How about you fuck yourself, Wi-Fi? Sandra Bullock looks like she's probably in her probably 40, which is insane.
It's amazing. Someone else, though, is 55 today. Jason Statham.
He looks like he's 40 also.
He does. Like he has not aged. They both have not aged. It's insane.
I was Jason Statham.
Roderick Strong turns 39 today.
He's a whiny little bitch now.
I expect him to get future endeavored in the next few weeks, probably.
I wouldn't even mind at this point. His character sucks.
Yeah, just let him go to the Undisputed Elite, whatever the fuck they're called in AEW. Just go away. And now, lastly, two pieces of shit have the same birthday. Marty Scurll turns 34.
Oh, I was like, fucking, I thought you were talking about the Pharma Bro guy. I was like, Martin Scully? Fucking, I haven't thought of Marty Scurll in fucking forever.
Yeah, nobody wants to. Fuck that guy. And
how old is Tessa, he? 37?
34.
34.
And Tessa Blanchard turns 27.
It's amazing. She's only 27. Fucked her own career up.
And hasn't wrestled in like 3 years. Dumb bitch. Some deaths that we had today. Let's see. 1984. American serial killer Ed Gein, who is the inspiration for the film Psycho and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, died of lung cancer at the age of 77.
Good.
In 2015, Bobby Christina Brown, the daughter of Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown, died while in a coma at the age of 22.
I remember that.
It doesn't feel like it was 2015, though. It feels like it was a lot longer than that. In 2016, remember Miss Cleo, the psychic? Oh,
my God, yeah.
She died of colon cancer at the age of 53. How was she only 53?
You think she saw it coming?
She should have.
Yeah, I would hope so.
How is she only 53? I swear to God, when I was watching those Miss Cleo commercials in like the 90s, I thought she was in her 50s.
No, she was 12, actually. That's crazy.
Seems like it. And then actually one that happened today.
I know.
Tony Dow.
Oh, yeah. I just saw that one. I was like, Tony fucking Sirico already died. Then Paul Sorvino died yesterday. Yeah, Tony Dow from fucking how I saw that? Fucking Willie Ames posted about it.
Did he really?
Yeah, apparently he knew him. So he played Wally Cleaver
on Leave It to Beaver. Died at the age of 77. And yesterday, as you just said, alive though. Well, he's the youngest one, right?
Three fucking Goodfellas characters have died recently. Yeah. Fucking Ray Liotta, fucking Paul Sorvino, and Tony Sirico. Maybe I should watch that movie for once. Finally,
you've still never seen it.
No, I don't know where it. Let me see if I can, because I know The Godfather is somehow not streaming anywhere.
I want to say Goodfellas might be on Netflix.
I think it actually might be. Yeah, it is. I think it's in my fucking queue, which is probably...
It's honestly one of the best movies I've ever watched. They need to put Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro in like bubble wrap at this point. Protect them at all costs.
And Al Pacino too.
Like, why the hell not? But everybody in Goodfellas, like, just save yourselves. Samuel Jackson also was in that movie, so he better watch his ass.
He can never die.
Love him, that
Morgan
guy.
Morgan Freeman are going to live forever.
Let's see. On this day, so I have a couple wrestling related ones.
Yeah, you better fucking have.
Well, obviously, you already spoiled it. Sable showing the puppies.
That was one of the best things of the Attitude Era ever. The fucking handprint fucking bra. Oh my God.
So that happened in 1997. But
I thought it was 98. That was 98.
Oh, 24 years ago. Sorry. So 1998.
We were 12.
98.
I work with somebody who was born in 1998, and I'm like, I work with somebody who was born in 04. He was the first baby in Fairfield County in 2004. And I'm like, you fucking bastard. Graduated high school 5 months later. The fuck?
Enjoy it while it lasts. So he just graduated high school then?
I think he's going into his sophomore year. Yeah. Because he's only 18.
In sophomore year of high school?
No, college.
Oh, I was like, what the hell do you mean sophomore year?
He plays lacrosse for Southern. Nice.
This day, 1986, Dusty Rhodes won the last of his three NWA World Championships when he beat Ric Flair in a steel cage match.
How much you want to bet Ric Flair won it back in like 2 weeks?
Flair won the belt back 2 weeks later.
Really?
Yeah.
That's such bull. That's why Ric Flair fucking blows.
I literally looked that up because I knew you were going to say that. It was two weeks later he won the title back.
He got so many title reigns because like, it would be both men's shoulders were down and they'd strip the title from him, so it would count as another reign. Like, Ric Flair fucking sucks, dude.
Yep.
I hope Jeff Jarrett literally kills him.
Oh, that's right. That's this weekend, too.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
That's Sunday.
Fucking loser.
Awful. So, yeah.
So bad.
On this day in 1991, Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman.
When he got caught?
Was arrested in Florida for exposing himself in an adult movie theater.
I did that too. It was Frozen. And guys were like, cool dick, dude.
Did you let it go?
I did. I held on loosely.
Oh God. And then this day,
it was an adult theater, right?
Yeah, it was an adult theater.
He wasn't at like a fucking Back to the Future showing or something and fucking jerking it off.
No, it wasn't Back to the Future 3. Come on, Doc. Yeah.
Get in the train. Fuck yeah. I just can't imagine doing that. That's just fucking weird.
It's gross to me. I could imagine going to one of like that's no, like the seats would be sticky. No, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Nope.
And lastly, on this day in 2012, at an NXT taping at Full Sail University in Winter Park, Florida, the tournament to crown the first ever NXT champion concluded.
Oh, Seth Rollins defeated, I don't remember who the fuck he beat.
Jinder Mahal.
Oh, that's right. I was going to say, it was somebody obscure like fucking Adam Rose or some shit.
So even 10 years ago, they were hindering Jinder.
Bastards. Well, that's it for this week. That went pretty well. Fucking WWE headlines.
We went by fast too.
We rarely talk about wrestling anymore. But yeah, that's it. We'll see you next week, Monday night, during the new Triple H era. It'll be after SummerSlam, so we'll probably record during Raw, I assume, after work. Yep. So
hopefully have some trade deadline stuff happening too.
Hopefully the Yankees get 58 new players.
Hopefully Juan Soto's playing left field for us at that point.
How much money do I get if Juan Soto's a Yankee by next week?
$250. If we trade for Juan Soto, $250.
Let's go. All right, I'll have one of my bosses text cash in and make sure he gets that shit done.
And also remember, 5 more days. If Isaiah Kiner-Falefa hits a home run in the next 5 days, you're getting $100 because I said there's no way he's hitting a home run this month.
Oh, you said this month?
Yeah, this month.
There's no way he's hitting one this year, for God's sake.
Seriously, I'm actually kind of excited that he hasn't hit any. I don't want him to hit any at this point.
What's the most at-bats? Look this up for next week. The most at-bats without a home run.
You got it.
It's got to be like, I'm sure somebody had, I remember Scott Podsednik. Remember that fucking guy? I think he had no home runs in 05, and then he hit at least one in the World Series.
It's got to be like 500 something at-bats. Like somebody went like an entire 600 at-bat season without hitting one. Somebody has to.
It's just insane. He couldn't even like run into one. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Okay. Bye.
Bye.